words. God, I don't pray for my words. God, I pray for your words. God, I step aside, God, and say, God, your will be done. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, God, what you want to speak to us, God. God, we thank you, God, this morning. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we want to lift your name up this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 I'm going to speak this morning. Actually, we're starting a new series. So if you're new this morning, we want to welcome you to Hope Church. And we are starting a new series this morning called Life Resurrected. And what we want to talk about over the next few weeks is how you can experience the abundant life that God has given in us through the resurrection power of Jesus. So we're going to be speaking on the resurrection power for the next few weeks. Like I said, it is not just an Easter Sunday. This is resurrection power for everyday life. Amen? And so we're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. And this morning we have a question for you. And I'm going to ask you that question at the very end of the message. And so before I get to that question, I want to teach on some things this morning about the resurrection power. Amen? So let's just go to the Word. Luke chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They had found the stone rolled away. Oh, can you imagine? But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about, suddenly two men, clothed and gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not dead. He is risen indeed. Amen. The resurrection is central to our faith. Like the Bible says, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. The resurrection is the reason we have reason. Listen, if Jesus were to have died and stayed in the ground, our faith is in vain. But no, he rose from the dead. But what does this mean? Like, what does the resurrection really mean for you and me? In John chapter 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was the what? Life. And that life was the light of mankind. Jesus' resurrection. Jesus brings life. And that's what I want to talk about over the next few weeks. That Jesus brings life. So what kind of life is Jesus offering? What kind of life is Jesus really offering? It's a life that was from the beginning. Jesus brings us the life that we lost in the garden. He brings us back that resurrection life, that abundant life, the God kind of life, the life that God lives, right? Jesus called it abundant life. Not just breathing air, not that kind of just breathing air life. It's life to the full. It's real life, the way God intended life to be. Life, real life, true life is in really short demand anymore. I like to use the example of the Chattahoochee River. The Chattahoochee, if you go up to the headwaters up in North Georgia, where the Chattahoochee begins as a little spring, and then it comes out of the ground and it floods into it. There's other rivers that flood into it, and then it goes down. But when you go to the headwaters of the Chattahoochee, man, that water, before Helen, by the way, because there's a lot of things that goes on in the river. You ever been to Helen, like on like a busy weekend, and you see all the tubes? Looks like a bunch of Fruit Loops, like going down the river with all the different colored tubes. But at the beginning of that river, it's clear. You can put your hand out, and you can scoop it up, and you can drink that pure water. It's right out of the ground. But something happens as that river goes down through Helen and goes through Lake Lanier. And it comes down through the city of Atlanta and goes south of Atlanta. You know, in the 70s, how many of y'all remember there was a time where we used to shoot the hooch? Anybody native? Where are my native Atlantans from? Some of you just been here a while. But we used to shoot the hooch, man. There would be like, you know, everybody would just hit the rivers, right? Hit the river. And in the 70s, it was really, really badly polluted. But good thing, there's been a lot of efforts to kind of restore and bring back. I forgot the name of the people who did, but there's great groups and community groups that go out and try to clean up the river. How many of you know it's important to remember the first commandment that God gave us? Right. Take care of the earth, right? So it's important that we do take care of the earth, that we just let it go however we want to. So there's some good efforts in to clean up the river, right? So that's all good, but the reality is it's still not like if you go South Atlanta, it's not really, you don't drink that river. You know, Sharon, she's a rower, right? It's like rower, like a real, not a, you know, cotton. She's a real like rower and teaches and coaches rowing. She knows all about the Chattahoochee River. You don't dip your hand down in there when you're hot and drink that water, right? No, you don't do that. And they even tell you like you got to watch how many fish that you eat out of that river, or you'll, you know, start growing limbs out of your head or something. I don't know, but like it's not the river that God intended, right? God intended that river to be the crystal river, like the river that we'll see in heaven that we'll be able to drink from, right? The river that the waters you can just bend down and drink and get refreshment from. But just like the river, just like the Chattahoochee, our culture and our lives have been tainted and polluted with sin. And we're not the people that God intended us to be. The culture around us is not the culture that God intended. We've been polluted, right? By sin and the effects of sin. Listen, sin is, we don't talk about sin. We talk about mess ups, right? Sin is brutal on people. Just pastor for a while. Look at your neighbors for a while. Look at your coworkers. Sin is brutal on cultures and on a group of people. In Romans, Paul says this, describing someone who's slave to sin. It says, when you were slave to sin, because we have been redeemed, he's talking to saved people, people who have been redeemed, you were free from the control of, watch this, he says, you were free from control of righteousness. He's talking about when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. People want to talk about how great it is. I don't have to live under any kind of moral code. I can do my own moral code, right? So you were free from the control of righteousness. Listen to this. What benefit did you reap from that time from the things which you're now ashamed of? What benefit did you reap? Think about your life. Think about my life. The things that you used to be involved with. What benefit did you get from a life that you're now ashamed of? Right? Well, Paul goes on and tells us. He goes, those things resulted in death. And some of you on the inside are going, amen. Amen. They did. They resulted in death. But now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the things that we used to be involved with, the sin that we used to be involved with, it did nothing to benefit. As a matter of fact, I'm ashamed of the things that I used to do. I'm ashamed of some of the things I still do. Amen? Because we know what they bring. We know the reward of what they bring. Now, I'm going to show you a video, and you're going to almost get whiplash, but just trust me, I'm going somewhere with this illustration. It's real quick illustration. Go ahead and roll it.
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on is available without a prescription at retailers nationwide.
head on, ladies and gentlemen. That was a product, and the promise was you just took this stuff and you stick it on your head, and you smush it on your head, it would take your headache away. Anybody remember that commercial? It would take your headache away, right? Well, a group of scientists got together and said, what is in this head-on stuff? This roll-on, basically a roll-on antiperspirant thing for your head. Yeah, it's weird. Like, happy Easter, by the way. You know, what a great, where are you going? Like, they discovered, scientists broke the, they took all the components, they broke it all down, and you know what they discovered? It's wax. It's wax. It's wax. It's what it is. It's wax. Show this other picture. It's called the power balance. Anybody remember these things? Power balance. They claim that bracelets, the hologram contain frequencies that react positively to the body's natural energy field. Y'all are already, some of y'all are rebuking the enemy right now. What the demonic stuff. It says the response to the body's natural energy field to improve balance, strength, and flexibility. Just by wearing that band, you can become better, faster, stronger, right? Become a new person, right? Forget about exercise. You don't need exercise. You don't need to push your body. You don't need to eat right. Just get one of those, and you got great balance. And it was promoted. And it was promoted. I hope this is okay. It was promoted by P. Diddy, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Kate Middleton, yes, royalty, David Beckham, and then Shaq actually did commercials for this thing. Not Shaq. Not Shaq. Did commercials for these things. Do you know that later on, customers won a $57 million lawsuit against these people for false advertising? It came out that the people said this, and I'll quote the company's response. In our advertising, we stated that power balance wristbands improved your strength, balance, and flexibility. We admit that there is no credible scientific evidence that support our claims. Therefore, we engaged in misleading conduct. What? There was a scam in America? Actually, this was worldwide. Actually, a lot of this court case was actually fought over in... I know way too much about this stuff now. I told you I study. I see my wife walking by. What are you watching? What are you looking at, David? But see, like, this actually was won over in, like, Australia. A lot of the court cases was actually in Australia. Scams. The world is full of scams, right? And things that promise you good stuff. Right? Just use this, right? You don't need to exercise. You don't need to do all this stuff. Just take this pill. Just do this exercise, right? Just do this, do that. You know, in 45 days, you'll have a transformed body. Right. Right? It's full of scam. We can ask. How many of you, let's just admit it, we're all fat, we're all flawed people, amen? We're all gullible to scams, right? How many of y'all, I want to see this. How many of y'all, because I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you have been a victim to a scam? Just a scam. I love your honesty. I love it. It was like scam. We got scammed. And like everybody wants to know, like after church, everybody's going, what'd you get scammed on? I got scammed on this. I got scammed on that same thing. We've been scammed. Why am I talking about this? Because I want to show us that we can be scammed. And let me tell you, the devil is the number one snake oil salesman on the planet. He is the number one scammer. Our enemy, he tells us lies about disobedience. What is the lie? What is really the bait of sin? If I just do this, it'll better my life. Oh, we won't say it, but we'll feel it. If I just drink myself into oblivion, then everything will be better. That's the lie of the enemy. If I just you know, if I just sleep around, it'll just make me feel better about myself, about whatever. And the lie of sin and the snake oil salesman of the devil lead us to a place that promises life, like the stick. Whenever you get tempted, that's the commercial I want you to roll in your head. It's the snake oil of the enemy. He tells us, he promises us life, right? He promises you don't need. He told Adam and Eve, you don't, listen, God's holding out on you. He's holding out on you. It's the lie of the enemy. To produce something that he, that looks like life, but really is empty. He's the king of the snake oil salesman. Look around our world. Think about a culture who decides to turn away from the things of God and push God off to the side and go, you know what, morality is relative and this and that and the other. I always ask some of my friends that I talk to, I say, so how's that working? As a culture, how's that working? We see, you know, I'm just going to name them. It's the seven deadly sins, right? It's funny that they call them deadly sins, but because they produce death. We see lust rampant in our culture. Lust sells everything to, you know, cars, hamburgers, whatever. It sells everything, movies, everything. Well, that was easy. Yeah, lust, yeah. Then gluttony, excessive eating or drinking, right? Proverbs chapter 23 says, for the drunkard and gluttons become poor, and their drowsiness clothes them in rags. It brings death. And then we see this. We see greed in our culture. The greed, the I gotta have more, and the more. And it's the lie, the scam of the enemy in this is, you know, if you just have more, then you'll be better off, and you'll feel good about yourself, and then you can do all these things, and you just go to, you know, come with me to Honduras and see people who are poor, and they're full of life. They have joy and peace. Did I say God called us to be poor? No. But it comes from something a whole lot different than just stuff that we gain. And we'll do everything to get more. We'll put ourselves in tens of thousands of dollars in debt just to have more, to more. I need more, more. Because, listen, it's the grass, but if I have more, I'll bring life to me. And then laziness, right? It's Easter. Happy Easter. It's going to get good. Just hang with me. Then the wrath. Wrath is just being, just the anger that's in our culture now. I said this the other day. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say this the other. I had said this the other day, and it just kind of came out of me. We were talking about, somebody was criticizing a pastor and a famous preacher, and they were just criticizing me. They said, David, is that true? This pastor had quit preaching the gospel. And he said, is that true? I go, you know what? I don't even listen to that stuff anymore because a lot of times it's just not true. And I said, but my biggest problem is, and I said these words. I said, we live in an age of critique. We're just critical of everything. It's that wrath that we just, we talk about the passing of Billy Graham this past year, and you know, it makes me wonder, are we ever going to have somebody that can rise up to be respected and that kind of thing without people just criticizing them anymore and just ripping them all down? We live in the age of critique and wrath and anger and bitterness, and Facebook feeds it, right? Man, I'm starting to sound like one of those old Pentecostal preachers. Come on. Envy. We can't be happy for somebody what somebody else has got. We can't celebrate when somebody else gets this or gets that. We can't be truly happy because, well, now I want that. Envy. And then pride. Pride just eats us up, right? We just think we're all that. And we know the scripture says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now you tell me, and every one of those, because it's so quiet, we know that all these things are rampant in American culture. It's rampant. How's that working? How is that idea working in our culture today? We have such division in our culture, like our country. We have just animosity towards people. I talked to a guy the other day, and he talked about how the moment he walks onto his job site, he says this just anger just fills him as he walked onto the job site. That culture in that job has created just this anger spirit that's in there, in that as he walks onto the property, boom. He goes, I just turn into a different person while I'm there. I said, yeah. Because it changes the atmosphere. It changes things in our culture. It changes things where we are. When sin is rampant, it doesn't go without a cost. And the cost is poor people's lives. Broken families, drug addictions, and just name them, right? Depression. Depression among our teenagers. Suicide among our teenagers. It rains like the sin. Do you see what I'm saying? The devil has lied and scammed us into believing a lie. That we can live a life outside of God. And live a life and have some kind of semblance of what real life is outside of God. We have to look back. And we have to go, that scripture's right. The wages of sin is death. The payment of sin is death. To individually and culturally. We've been scammed. Maybe not we. You know, those mean people out there. We're not. We're in Easter Sunday church. It's the Chattahoochee. We've been polluted, right? We're not the people that God called us to be. But you see, the resurrection changed everything. The resurrection changed everything. Jesus rising from the dead as a historical fact, not a fairy tale. The truth of the fact that there was Jesus, he was crucified for you and me, put in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, there's nobody in the tomb. And hundreds of people see him resurrected, as written by Josephus, the historian, the Jewish historian, not just the Bible. But the fact that Jesus has risen, listen to this in Romans chapter 6. Oh, don't, he says, or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We therefore buried with him through baptism into his death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life. That through the resurrection power of God, we don't have to live under that sin pressure anymore. The wages of those sin pressure, and we can walk in newness of life. You ever been to a good Baptist baptism? I love them. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. It's absolutely the truth that we are raised with Christ to walk in a different way, in a way that brings abundant life that Jesus promised. Therefore, in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You've been set free from that law that causes destruction. You have had the greatest water filter on the planet that dipped down into that Chattahoochee River and poured out nothing but good drinking quality water that you can drink thoroughly, right? You've been cleansed like yourself. You have been cleansed from that old life. And now you've been raised to walk in newness of life. You've been, the wages of those sins are broken over your life because of the resurrection of Jesus. that we celebrate this morning. Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above as Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul makes this plea. He says this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of the resurrection. I want you this morning, I want to know the greater power of the resurrection, the life that He brings in me through the resurrection of Jesus. It's not the life I used to live, who brought death. It's not the life that put me in addiction, that about destroyed. See, you know, like pastors are perfect, right? Right? No. No, who said yes? Let me find that guy. Well, you may be lying. I know a few. And we're not all perfect, right? But we, like my past, if you had just known how sin about wrecked my marriage. Some of you guys, you just go, oh, you guys just have you're soulmates. You just have such a great marriage. We do. I have a great marriage now. Because God, through the resurrection power of Jesus, rid me of addiction. Rid me of things that was destroying my marriage. That caused us, Julie and I, to be separated. You? Yeah, me. That same power of Jesus that cured me from addiction, purified me from the wages of that sin. Put me and my wife together. We have a marriage like never, because the wages of those sins are broken over my wife and I's marriage. We have a great marriage. The resurrection. Jesus came to expose the scam. Expose the scam. And in so, He exposed the religiosity of the day. Says you think that you're creating life and you're just religious circles. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection this morning. Jesus is your answer for real, true life. Let me read that scripture again and I'll get to my question that I promised you. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read it again. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They had found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" My question to you and to myself and to all of our culture is, why do we seek living things from dead things? Why do we seek the living among the dead? I want to paint a pure picture that Jesus is a way to life. And our world's way is a way to death and destruction. It doesn't take... You don't have to, like I always say, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon. Surgeon? You know what I mean. You don't have to have it. You don't have to be too bright to see the wages of sin is death. So why do we seek living things from dead places? Why do we try to find life in those seven deadly sins, right? Why do we try to find life in those things? Because they promised me if I rolled it on my head that I have no headache. Don't look to dead things to make you alive. Don't look to dead things to make you alive. Stop looking for the meaningless stuff of this culture to give you abundant life, because it's empty. Jesus, guys, listen. Jesus gives life. He gives life because He is the life. He is the risen one. He's the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. He made us live a life to live in abundance. His promise is for us to live an abundant life. And what is that going to look like? I'm so glad you asked, and I'm so glad we're doing a series. Because we're going to talk about what does that look like? What does that produce? How do I have that abundant life? Because if I were to ask, if I were to do a poll in here and ask you, say, are you really experiencing abundant life? We would be probably going, kind of, some days. How do we experience abundant life? The life that God promised us to live. We're going to be talking about it over the next few weeks. It's going to be really good. I'm excited to share it and get it all out. I'm going to ask our ushers. They've already come up. I'm going to ask our band to come back up on the platform. And as they do, I just want you to bow your head this morning. And I want to, as I get set up, I want to ask you a question. The question. Maybe you're in this place and you've been looking for life in dead places. Same question that they spoke to those women is true for us today. Why do you seek the living among the dead? If that's you in this place this morning, I want you to just admit that right where you're at, just you and Him. Say, God, I've been searching for life in dead places. Father, we look to you this morning. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. In you, Jesus, is the life, and that life is the light of men. Jesus, you are the life giver. God, I pray you'd forgive us for trying to find life outside of you. God, help us to walk in newness of life. So maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've been looking for life in dead places. I've been looking for God. I've been looking for the abundant life in places that's only given me disappointment and discouragement. I've tried to find it in things. I've tried to find it in money. I've tried to find it in all of the our own desires. And God, this all it's done has brought me to a terrible place. God, I pray and I ask you for forgiveness this morning. Just right where you're at, just you and Him. I've been looking for life in dead places. Maybe you're in this room and you say, I need to, you know what, I've heard a lot about this Christianity and maybe you say, I've never heard it really put like that before. And maybe God's stirring in your heart this morning. And you say, I want to make my decision for Christ today. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm just asking you to get connected with God through Jesus. Because He takes away the wages of those sins. And you can walk in newness of life in a new way with your heart set on a different path. Or maybe you're in this place and you say, you know what, I just kind of do my own thing. And it's not really working out for me. I know I'm a Christian. I know I believe in Jesus. But I'm not really committed as I should be to Him. And I live this life that's kind of on the fence and it's just not working. and you say, I just really need to commit my life to Him in a new way, in a fresh way. If that's you, I don't usually do this, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you just, if that's you, I just want to pray for you this morning. If that's you and you want to make that, it's important that you do some kind of acknowledgement of that. And so with everybody else's heads are bowed, it's just between you, God, and me. If that's you on any of those, either one of those things, if you just lift your hand and say, that's when I want to make a fresh commitment to God, or I want to receive Him. I see your hands. Yep. Yep. Anybody else? Yep. 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 I see them. I see them. Awesome. Awesome. God sees them even more. Put your hands back down. We're going to pray together. Listen, let me just say this. I feel led to say this. I don't know what your religious experiences have been. I don't know what disappointment a church has caused you to go through, or what things you've heard from a preacher, or what you've heard. That really, right now, and I understand there's some hurt and some pain, but this is between you and God. Just you and God. And at Hope Church, that's what we endeavor to do, just to point people to Jesus. That's it, in the best way. We'll probably mess up down the road, but if that's you, let's all pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. And God, we ask you to forgive us of all of our sin. And God, we ask you to wash us clean. And Father, we look to you as the life giver. We're not going to look for living things among dead things. We're going to find our hope and our life in you. In Jesus' name, I receive your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to proclaim to you by the authority of Jesus and His Word that you're free from sin according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, the Bible says, if you confess your faults, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So where you stand today is right with God. Don't let the scam artist tell you anything different. You're right with Him this morning. Amen? Amen. Well, amen. Praise God. Thank God. And if you're not a part of this church, you raise your hand. We'd love you to be a part of this church. If you're perfect, we'll ask you to go to a different church, because you'll mess up what we got going on here. Because we're all just struggling. We're all working, not struggling. We're all empowered by God's Spirit to effect change in our lives. And we're all working out our own salvation. We're all growing from glory to glory. Amen. From me to the rest of the team, the leadership team of the church, we embrace God's goodness. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Happy Easter. There will be no, just to let you know, the communication. If there's, we have no youth tonight. We want you just to go home and spend time with your families today and just enjoy Easter with your family. And let's just, one more time, let's just, right where you're at, in your own way, whether you lift your hands or you don't lift your hands, whatever, in your own heart especially, just thank God for His resurrection power. God, we thank you for your resurrection power that lives on the inside of us. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, helping me walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, say this with me. Say, I can do what God says I can do. I am what God says I am. In Jesus' name, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Easter. God bless you.